now. Let me see. 10 minutes to 12 o'clock. Gavin, how are you?
Not too bad.
Good. Movies, what's happening in terms of people going out to see something on the big screen tonight or on the small screen? What can they see?
We've got The Equalizer, which is Denzel Washington in the remake of the 80s TV series. I don't know if you were a fan when it was on too late for me.
Yeah, I know of it. And yeah. I know it. I know people love it. I can't say I knew it very well, no.
He goes about putting right what went wrong. Chloe Grace Moretz is a teenage prostitute who's beaten by her Russian pimp and his gang, so he takes them out, and that encourages him to do likewise elsewhere. Every other criminal, like shop thieves and corrupt police, they come under the hammer too. But then the Russians bring in this kind of super hitman to find out who's responsible for killing their gang. Right-wing movie.
No, it's not Liam Neeson. It's Denzel Washington.
This is it. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's been a lot of these lately. They've with the Death Wish, obviously from the '70s, but you have Death Sentence, Harry Brown. We had an Irish movie as well, The Savage, which was a revenge movie as well. Denzel Washington always watchable. He's got a great walk.
A right wing revenge movie, or is there anything else in it?
Not much. No, I mean, and there's a few cliches as well.
Huge ads on TV all the time for it.
Well, they are certainly pushing it, but it's got those cliches, you know, of walking away from explosions in slow motion.
I saw one this week of that. Pierce Brosnan did it. The movie is called, oh my God, I forgot the name of the movie already. The November Man.
I haven't seen that one.
And he's walking away, and the big thing, the whole thing explodes behind him, and he doesn't look behind.
It's done so many times now. It's laughable.
If you would. Anyway, okay. So The Equalizer is what? Thumb sideways then.
It's grand. Yes. The criminal, the Russian guy Martin Zorkas is pretty good in it now. I enjoyed him.
Right, okay, fair enough. It's not great though, obviously. What else is on?
We have What We Did on Our Holiday, which is from the people of BBC's Outnumbered, which is a series that ended recently.
What's that?
Quite popular. It's two parents, three kids, and they follow. It was not shot over 10 years, but it was a 10-year series using the same actors. Nice. So we got to see the family through 10 years. Rosamund Pike, David Tennant, couple on the cusp of divorce.
Is all over the place.
Everywhere.
Gone Girl.
She's everywhere.
Week,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. They're head to Scotland for Billy Connolly's 75th birthday. They're about to have a divorce. They want to keep it quiet, except the three kids they have in tow. They blurted out, so Billy Connolly kind of takes them under the shoulder and tries to prepare them for what's to happen.
Wait a minute, is this half real? This isn't a documentary.
No. And they try and keep it as funny as possible. Sometimes it's very school around the corner. Don't kids say the funniest things, which is kind of too cute for me. But the ad-lib scenes between Connolly and the kids are quite enjoyable. And you'd have to have a rotten heart to give it a thumbs down.
All right, so again, thumbs sideways. What We Did on the Holidays. I presume it's not thumbs up all the way, is it?
No.
Okay. All right, anything else big screen-wise besides The Equalizer and What We Did on a Holiday?
We have the new David Cronenberg, Maps of the Stars, which is an acerbic look at Hollywood and Hollywood lives. A critique of the Tinseltown. But it's not a funny one. There was one funny line I thought that Robert Pattinson plays a screenwriter who's thinking of joining Scientology as a career move. That was. You didn't find that funny. You're not going to find the rest of it funny.
He might have a point, actually. Yeah.
this is about Maya Wasikowska. She's an unstable burn victim who gets a job as Julianne Moore's assistant. She's an actress, Julianne Moore, looking to play the role that made her mother famous in an upcoming remake. And Wasikowska's parents, John Cusack and Olivia Williams, are looking to keep their son's drug habit quiet, as he's the lead in this kind of kiddie franchise series. And it's flitting back and forth, and sometimes these stories crash together, sometimes they're off on tangents. I didn't see what the point was. It's a very easy target, so let's have a go at Scientology, let's have a go at this pseudo-spiritualism that Julianne Moore gets into. And In fact, if it was a series, something like along the lines of Entourage.
Or if it was Joe Bloggs directing, would anybody care?
Yeah, this is it. I think it's very much the Halo effect.
David Cronenberg.
I liked his earlier stuff lately. I'm not that
interested. Well, you actually said that without laughing. I liked his earlier stuff.
I liked his earlier darker stuff.
Yeah, right. The funny thing is, like, John Cusack, is he any good in this? What has happened to John Cusack? There's an item. What the hell happened for the last 10 years with John Cusack? He used to be great.
Since High Fidelity, I think he decided I don't want to be that cute rom-com guy anymore. Actually, he did Serendipity. And actually, since then, he's done Must Love Dogs, which is a cute rom-com. But he's branched away and gone into some darker stuff. He played a serial killer last year on Frozen Ground, which I thought was very
true
good
story
in.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think he's just trying out different things. He played Edgar Allan Poe.
Would it not be better to try out better things?
That's a good point.
We had Liam Cunningham in here some weeks back, and I mentioned to him, I just saw him in a movie, and Liam said, "Oh God, I never saw that." And Liam's the main guy in it with John Cusack. Is it called The Station Agent or The Numbers Agent?
That didn't get a release here.
It was
Was it?
Oh, John Cusack. I'm sorry, Liam was brilliant in it. But John Cusack, I mean, like, I was just thinking, what's he doing?
I don't know. It's really strange because he was on such a high. He had his own production company. He brought out High Fidelity and Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
And that was that's 14 years ago now.
He's here with Olivia Williams in this. They're the parents of Mia Wasikowska. Is he any good?
He's grand. He's sending up Hollywood again.
Look at this. That's like a knife in the back. He's grand. What do you think of the movie? Brilliant photography.
The sets are wonderful.
Yeah. By the way, no disrespect to camera people that I know. Okay, now let's go on to DVD. Sorry, that's Maps of the Stars. All of them just okay. But The Equalizer. And what we did on a holiday or holidays?
Holiday.
All right, fair enough. Now, tell me, DVDs, what's on there?
We have The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Is it amazing?
It isn't. I found the first one quite dull. I'm not into Spider-Man. I know there's lots of superheroes
to get into. It does what it does.
Yes. This one had problems of the first one in that the villains look silly.
It's not very dark, is it? It's like after Batman, you think they might go a bit darker.
No. They've gone the other way. Well, Spider-Man was always kind of light and frothy. I think it's just for kids more than other superheroes. It's the most kiddie superhero around. I did like the fact that it made a lot of room for the romance between Andrew Garfield, who plays Spider-Man, and Emma Stone. And I like Dane DeHaan. He's this up-and-comer. He's playing the Green Goblin, except his makeup here is absolutely ridiculous. And Jamie Foxx, Electro, who looks like a very 80s
Graham Norton has people on his couch and all that, and he had to have the whole three on. Yes. He couldn't have, it was like the push and the way they just, it's just too much.
Exactly. It's go see my movie. We're fun. We're down to earth. Yeah. Go see my movie,
if you
please.
Don't, you'll get 50 lashes. Okay, that's the Amazing Spider-Man 2, which isn't necessarily amazing. What about anything else on DVD?
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, I saw this.
Yes, Family Guy. I like Ted, his last movie, Seth MacFarlane.
William Ray's Dying in the West is rubbish.
It's terrible. My father actually went with this. He never goes to the movie, but he went with this to me. He likes comedies, he likes westerns, and he sniggered once. And
wait a
minute, very early
on.
You went
with your dad to the movie. There's another item. What was that like?
Well, during the sexual stuff, it was kind of uncomfortable, to be honest. Still, I was surprised at myself that I'm actually uncomfortable.
See, an awful lot of people don't watch those kind of things anymore when there was only one television in the house and you had to watch stuff with your parents.
Exactly, yeah.
They're all watching stuff on tablets now. They say, oh, this such and such a movie is great. Oh, yeah, I must see it. I said, I'm not going to watch it with you, Dad. I can't even remember the sexual stuff in that movie. I can't remember.
Giovanni Ribisi, he's a quiet gent and he's marrying Sarah Silverman's prostitute, and she's telling him everything she gets up to during the day, and he's trying to be okay with it, and they get pretty graphic in her descriptions. I thought the problem with this is that it's a fish out of water plot. MacFarlane is there, he's commenting on the unusual way of life in the Old West from a standpoint of somebody who's come back from the future.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. He's a cowboy too.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work.
It doesn't work because it's not funny.
It's not funny. Bottom line, it's not funny.
End of story. A Million Ways to Die in the West, Seth MacFarlane. If you're into it, you're into it, I suppose, but I thought it was pretty terrible. Amazing Spider-Man 2, not good enough, but not necessarily terrible either. And in fact, I saw a Western this week.
Oh.
The Holmes Man. Did you see that? No. Tommy Lee Jones, Meryl Streep, Hilary Swank and everything. Jeepers, it's a tough one.
Is that Tommy Lee Jones directing?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, and he's going across the prairies bringing three mad women in a sort of a truck with Hilary Swank, and then they meet up with Meryl Streep at the very end. There's other people like James Spader in that, and it's got a lot to recommend it, but I'm afraid it's just again thumb sideways. Not good enough. Must try harder, Tommy. Actually, can I just say before we leave here, Tommy Lee Jones at the Oscars, I have to say this, I was there there in this room, and they come in after they get their Oscar to a TV room, a radio room, and a kind of a press room. And the first room is TV, so I'm there. Got to get a question into Tommy. He said, Tommy. He just won one for The Fugitive. I just said, like, what's it like now in future to have your name like in front of the thing? Like Tommy Lee Jones in. He says, Sonny, I've had my name in front of lots of movies. Next!
Oh.
I got all that on camera and we showed it on the movie show. Anyway, it's time to get out of here, so we will. Thanks very much indeed to everybody who's been involved. In particular, by the way, I want to thank Richard McCullough, Soundwise, there in Studio 8 for, Hosier. And we're back tomorrow again at 10 o'clock in the morning. Larry is next, lunchtime, and that's all you need to know. Good luck and take it easy. And by the way, if you're going to Croke Park today, have a half as good a time as you did the last time and you'll have an amazing time.